Full Story is supported by CommBank. CommBank is dedicated to using the latest tech to create real change. From utilizing agentic AI to outsmart cybercrime, to solving complex problems at scale, their teams support more than 17 million Australians every day. And you could be part of it. CommBank is looking for senior technologists to help influence strategy, security, and innovation across one of Australia's leading tech environments. If you're a curious mind who thrives on collaboration and is eager to engineer real impact, search CommBank Tech Careers.
Josh Owens, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you've just published a really great book, I'd recommend it, about your time working on InfoWars. It's called The Madness of Believing, a memoir from inside Alex Jones's conspiracy machine. Take me back to the beginning. When did you first hear of Jones? When did he come onto your radar?
The first time I heard Jones's name was while watching a movie with a friend. We were watching Stanley Kubrick's film, Dr. Strangelove. And there's a scene where Sterling Hayden's character goes on this tirade about water fluoridation.
Do you realize that fluoridation is the most monstrously conceived and dangerous communist plot we have ever had to face?
My friend paused the movie and he asked me at that time, had I ever heard of Alex Jones? And I had no idea who Alex Jones was. And he started quizzing me basically about water fluoridation. And he ran to the bathroom and he got a tube of toothpaste. Mm-hmm. And on the label of the toothpaste, there's a warning that said, if you swallow more than a pea-sized amount, call poison control. And so that led to him asking me, if there's a pea-sized amount and, you know, you swallow a pea-sized amount, then why can we drink unlimited amounts, you know, depending on how much water you consume from the tap? And I had no idea. I didn't know what fluoride was. I didn't know who Alex Jones was. That night, I looked at his website, InfoWars. I watched the documentary that he had put out, and I just got hooked.
I'm Alex Jones. Get ready for another edition of InfoWars Nightly News, straight ahead.
So essentially what Jones would do is he would take what was in the news and sort of use it to push his own ideas.
I am so excited about this because if you realize we have them sneaking around in secret meetings with the plan.
He has this vast vocabulary. He is incredibly certain about everything that he says.
So you got George Washington in the West battling the head of the Illuminati, a Satanist, in the East. Classic battle. And they killed him. They poisoned him.
He's very fiery and bombastic.
They literally want you domesticated. They want to dehorn you, declaw you.
But he can also be incredibly funny, unintentionally so. When he tries to be funny, it doesn't really work out.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay. Do you understand that?
He sort of jumps back and forth from comedic depictions of the world to these like violent fantasies to taking the news and breaking it down and giving a perspective that isn't something that, at least back then, that you would necessarily hear anywhere else.
And come 2013, you applied for and were successful in getting a job at InfoWars. Tell me, what was it like at the beginning?
Yeah, well, it was a big step. I dropped out of film school. I moved halfway across the country from Georgia to Texas. I'd never been to Texas before. I'd never been to Austin. And initially, I was hired as a camera operator and video editor.
Okay. And tell me about your first impressions of Alex Jones when you finally came face to face with him.
When I first met him in person, I remember texting my girlfriend, Lacey, and I said, he's so much nicer than I thought he would be. Because mm-hmm. When I first met him, he was just very kind and jovial, and he has this magnetic presence. And what's crazy is that that very first moment, there were these two other employees that were in the room, and they were sort of joking around. And Jones quoted Dr. Strangelove, which was the movie years earlier that had pulled me in. Mm-hmm. It was just one of those surreal moments. And little did I know that the next 4 years of my life would be one big surreal moment. But that was sort of my first time meeting the guy.
Jones became notorious for spreading many dangerous and occasionally completely bizarre conspiracy theories. When you were working alongside him, did you ever get the sense that he actually believed the stuff that he was saying?
I used to be asked this question, does Jones believe the things that he says? Mm. And my answer was always, what does it matter? Because he talks to presumably millions of people who do believe the things that he says. But I read this book by Harry Frankfurt called On BS. And the idea of that book is that liars skew the truth and that BSers just don't care what the truth is. Mm. And so I just don't think Jones holds any value for truth. So he can sort of say what he wants, when he wants. It's always changing. Now, is he a liar? Yes, he is a liar. But I just think it's far more complicated than that.
But the sort of cynicism behind so much of his behavior. You know, he was a great amplifier, wasn't he, of the Pizzagate conspiracy theory, this idea that there was a pedophile ring in the basement of a pizza joint in Washington that had something to do with Hillary Clinton. And he didn't even believe that at the start, right? But then he realized that his viewers were into it. So he jumped on board.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. He started getting pushback in comments and phone calls into his radio show of people saying that he was covering Pizzagate up. Mm. And so then he started unabashedly covering it, claiming that he believed what was going on.
They go, I love you, Satan. I love you, Satan, as the baby begs. And they all run over and start drinking the blood and slurping. And they all have sex with each other. And they just pledge to get your kids.
So, you know, it was all calculated.
And with terrifying consequences, because a gunman who was a loyal listener to Jones, right, he went into the restaurant, didn't he, and fired shots. There were families having to dive under tables. Real life consequences to his BS, as you put it.
Yes. Yeah. It's hard to know how far and wide those consequences go. Jones did this on a daily basis for decades. And so what is the impact? What has it done to so many people that we might never hear from?
Yeah, and I guess before 2016, before Trump won the first presidential election, a lot of the things that Alex Jones was always banging on about seemed wacky, fringe concerns. And then all of a sudden, Trump's in the White House, and he's repeating so many of Alex Jones's talking points.
So I was in that world when that transition happened, where Jones was on the fringe, and then all of a sudden it seemed like so many people in the mainstream, you know, it started with Trump, but so many people in the mainstream started sort of turning in that direction. But I mean, then COVID happened, January 6th happened, a second Trump presidency. It just got so much worse. But yeah, I mean, things drastically moved from the fringe to the mainstream. And I think Jones played a big role in that. I mean, there's a reason that Trump campaigning in 2016 came on Jones's show.
I just want to finish by saying your reputation's amazing. I will not let you down. You will be very, very impressed, I hope.
And in terms of why Jones was spreading these conspiracies, whether he believed in any of them or not, I guess from your book, it seems clear that the more outlandish he was, the more his viewers responded, the more money he would make. But he wasn't just making money from eyeballs on his videos, right? He was also hawking them dodgy products, supplements, to counter the various conspiracies that he claimed were alive in the U.S.
Yeah, yeah. So when I first started listening to him, he was really only selling like T-shirts and stickers and DVDs. He would encourage people to copy his DVDs and give them out for free. And when I first started listening to him, my radar was up. Like, is this guy just a grifter? Is he just doing it for money? And when I saw him say that, I was like, well, he's saying to give his stuff out for free. I mean, ultimately, that was just free advertising for him.
Yeah.
But I was a little too naive to see it in those terms. But I edited the very first ad for the very first privately labeled supplement that he sold, which was an iodine tincture. And after that, it was just nonstop new products that he was coming out with.
I am very proud to announce the introduction of the highest quality InfoWars Biome Defense probiotic.
And it went from no one really ever talking about his products to a mandate that every video had to end with an ad.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy.
And this iodine tincture that you mentioned, what was that supposedly combating? Why would you take such a tincture, a potion, or whatever it was?
Yeah. Well, so his concept was that it was combating radiation. Not long after he started selling it is when he sent us to the West Coast to report on an idea that he believed that radiation was floating over onto the West Coast after the Fukushima disaster.
Okay. An idea, like a hypothesis that he personally had, and you were sent there to stand it up.
Yeah, there was a beach called Surfer's Beach where a man had taken a video and he had shown that there were, he had a Geiger counter and he showed that there were high radiation readings on the beach. Mm-hmm. And so local officials, federal officials, they all looked into this and they had an explanation for it. It was contained. It was in a very small area. But Jones started forming this idea that the entire West Coast was riddled with it. So we drove up the West Coast to check for radiation readings, and other than Surfer's Beach, we found nothing. But then we started getting these phone calls saying that Jones was the angriest that employees had ever seen him. Mm. And then calls from him directly undermining us. It wasn't that there was no radiation. It was that we were just too stupid to know where to look. Mm. So we started looking everywhere. We started going to these fishing vessels, testing crab that they had caught off the coast. We were going to sushi markets. We were going to every beach we could find. We even went to it was a military base, I believe, that was closed down because of radiation levels. And we thought maybe we could find something there. And we found nothing there. And it was like this moment where we were like, well, so what are we supposed to do? Never clicking in our mind like, oh, you could just lie, because that's essentially what he wants. But that's the thing, is that he wasn't calling us saying, I want you to lie. He was making us question our own ability, our own version of reality, the things that we were seeing right in front of our faces with our own eyes. It wasn't until we got back that it really started to click. Like, oh, we were sent there to sell this product, because Jones had just begun selling an iodine tincture that was, you know, sold to help people protect themselves against radiation. And then conveniently we were sent on this trip where we were told, you know, half the country was in danger of being exposed to it. It was that first moment where I realized maybe our job isn't to tell the truth.
And in your book, you write that you became, quote, a seasoned bullshit artist devoid of conscience. And we shouldn't gloss over the serious misinformation that you broadcast, that you helped to broadcast. Because while you were behind the camera, InfoWars was spreading lies about Ebola. You filed a report which claimed that a mosque was actually a secret ISIS base. You went to an anti-abortion protest with Alex Jones in which he and supporters waved placards reading, Planned Parenthood is the KKK. But there is one particular story I would like you to tell us, which is all about when you were dispatched to the US-Mexico border to stand up some nonsense about ISIS terrorists waltzing across to Texas without being stopped.
Yeah, well, a Judicial Watch report was released that said that there were ISIS terror cells across the border. Jones sent us there to cover this. When we got there, there was nothing to show. There was nothing to talk about. So we get a call from a news producer that says, where are the videos? Where are the reports? And I think it was just this moment where I was so frustrated that I said, what do you want us to do? There's nothing to talk about. What do you want us to dress up as an ISIS terrorist and walk across the border to show that it's open? And he said, let me call you back. And a few minutes later, he called us back and he said, yeah, that's a great idea. Do that. And I was like, what's a great idea? He was like, your idea. That's a great idea. I'm going to send you an ISIS flag. I'm going to send you a costume and you're going to do that. The news producer stenciled an ISIS flag. He got a severed head from a prop shop in Austin, a scimitar sword, and the whole get up, and he mailed it to us. And so we started going to the border trying to find a spot where we could just do this really quickly. Mm. But there was nowhere to do it.
So you couldn't just nip over the border. There was no big hole in the fence or anything, though.
No, there wasn't. Not where we were in El Paso. And so like a mirage, we were just driving and all of a sudden we saw this little stream that looked similar to the Rio Grande. And just in our desperation, we found our way down to that stream. The reporter I was with dressed up as an ISIS terrorist. I crossed over the little stream and I filmed him coming over.
With the severed head.
With the severed head.
Thank you, Obama, for leaving your southern borders open so ISIS can terrorize America. We claim this land for Sharia law.
And almost immediately, it got millions of views. Jones went on his show and said, this is one of the most important things we've ever done. Get your family, get your friends to tune in. We're showing you the truth, the reality of what's going on in the world. And none of it was true. None of it was real.
All of us are now one step closer to their end game, stripping us of all our liberties. So we dressed up like an ISIS jihadi to be as obvious as possible, to show and to illustrate just how wide open the border really is.
The viewers knew that it wasn't a real terrorist, but what the lie was is that our border is so open and porous that it could happen in broad daylight. But here's the important part of that. Jones didn't know that that wasn't true. We lied. We are the ones that told a lie about where we were and what we were crossing over. And to me, that's sort of the point of that whole story, is that Jones creates this manipulative world and this manipulative environment, but he also creates this space around him where people are willing to do that.
And how do you feel when you reflect on that?
Ashamed, horrified. I get the same sick feeling in my stomach I got on that day. It's just now it's for a different reason. There were times 100% where I knew what I was doing was wrong. And yet I continued to do it. We started spreading lies on trips. We would leave details out that went against Jones's narrative framework. We would make claims that weren't true. And so when I say that I became a seasoned bullshit artist devoid of conscience, I mean, it's just true. It's just what it looked like being in Jones's world.
Coming up, how Alex Jones lost the war and what the Onion has planned for his fallen empire.